Dolphins. I am your host, Dave Kinney, here on a draft in the aftermath of the 2018 draft with super, super special guest, Mike Mercadal.
Mike Mercadal coming at you.
If you could hear what we were talking about before.
I wish you would post it.
Yeah. Mike and I learned together that if you're trying to do a pirate voice, it's just, you know, the Macho Man Randy Savage voice you do every day of your life.
Everybody does.
Yeah, I mean, you're
everybody
human.
Everybody does. So you're a human being. You do a Macho Man voice.
Just do a Macho Man Randy Savage voice and just relax your jaws a little bit.
Like, just yeah, don't clench. So instead of being, oh yeah, just be like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's the C. I mean, you got to bring it down here.
This is kind of hard hitting.
This is the
voice
this is,
coaching you're coming for. But yeah, that's look.
I'm we a know, pirate leg.
Yeah. Macho Man also the bandana over the head, just like pirates.
Just like a pirate. We are breaking new ground here. I think.
Yeah.
This is astounding what we're accomplishing right now.
We'll grade the draft later, but I grade that Macho Man impression an A.
A plus. Give me the plus, sir. I'm an aspirational.
But
student.
I give your pirate impression. An R.
You heard that shit? You ever heard that
shit? If you're still listening to this podcast, which you should not be.
What's a pirate's favorite letter of the alphabet?
R.
Nope. Everyone knows that a pirate's true love is the sea. I love and hate that joke at the same time. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, my friends and I used to always do those. It was like, what's a pirate's favorite movie? Armageddon. But like, we would just do like 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
And then like, one of my friends was like, what's a pirate's favorite magazine? And like, everyone's like thinking of it. He's like,
"Arr, you don't get mail on a boat, matey."
Oh boy, guys, listeners, we are so happy that you're hearing all of this. The sun is out in New York City. We're super excited to finally be wearing shorts.
Yeah.
Both of us have our legs exposed. Oh, it's a big deal.
It is a bright room.
Yeah.
With all this exposed pale skin. It is. It finally got nice here. And look, I mean, I cannot go any further in this podcast without opening with Mike was right.
I was so fucking right.
Hashtag Mike was right.
Hashtag vindication.
If you listen to our last episode, it was us needlessly speculating over which quarterbacks the Dolphins were going to go with.
Right.
And they took a big old none of the above.
Yes.
And went a very different way. Mike, you want to take some time and gloat?
I am 100% inside the brain of the Dolphins front office and the coaching staff because I nailed it. I'm tooting my own horn, beep, beep, honk, honk, because I said, what if this was all a ruse? What if all that quarterback talk was a ruse? And they really, like, that's not what we need, honestly. I mean, we do need a backup, but we don't need a first round pick quarterback right now. We just need someone that we can bring up in our system.
Yeah.
So that is going to eliminate all of the need for like Baker Mayfield. I would have loved to have had Baker Mayfield. I mean, it would have been great.
Mayfield going number one. I mean, if you're listening, by the time you're listening to this, you've already heard this talked about a million times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, if I had to choose a quarterback in this draft, I probably would have, even with the tiny hands, with what people said about its attitude, with the height and all this other shit, of the three or of the four big quarterbacks, five, if you throw in Lamar Jackson, to me, he seemed like the best, like
fit.
I mean, the stats, the intangibles, the other stuff. I mean, he wanted to come, he seemed eager
to be down here. And that, I think, so my point in the last episode was very much that it would be a night, like there's certain ways to categorize things when you're prioritizing.
Yeah.
This is all like the life coachy bullshit or, you know, like stuff you read books, you know, self-help books, but it comes with like, you have must haves and then you have a would be nice.
Yeah.
So if you categorize, Baker Mayfield was not a must have. So trading up for him and all that stuff felt outlandish. You know, it would have been, you know, looking back on it, of course, it's like, yeah, what we ended up getting are what we needed, like must haves. Like we needed linebackers. We needed tight ends.
I mean, and talking about, from what the GM and the other people had said after the draft, I mean, basically what the way they made it sound is part of it was a bit of smokescreen. Part of it was, I think that if Baker Mayfield would have slid to them, I mean, even after the draft, they were clear that they were really high on him. I mean, what is abundantly clear is, I guess Adam Gase is actually really close with, I think, the offensive coordinator at UCLA.
Right.
Okay. So the Cardinals traded up one spot above us, and I think it was the Raiders pick. They definitely called Miami to see what they were, if they were interested in giving it up. And the price to move up, I mean, the price for, the price for the Cardinals was pretty low. I mean, we're talking about like a third, maybe like a third and a fifth or something.
Right.
Which if, so Adam Gase, they took a really long look at Rosen, talked to the offensive coordinator, got a ton of inside information, and the price of moving up one spot was relatively low. If they thought Josh Rosen was a star in the making, they definitely make that move. I mean, it wasn't like something where like they had hoodwinked or something.
Exactly.
I mean, they definitely didn't believe in Rosen. I think that like, I think if Mayfield would have fallen to them, I think that that was something that they were seriously considering. Josh Allen, I mean, the Bills moving up to get him. Of all the top picks, those
poor Bills.
Yeah. I mean, including even, the Ravens picking, Lamar Jackson, Allen seems like, and because of the way history works, there's no way this can work out to be true. He just seems like the most likely to fail of the main quarterbacks. He's a really? Dude who has an arm. He's had accuracy issues since high school. He's never been accurate at any point.
Right.
Even like in high school, there was a knock on him in high school of accuracy and stuff.
Right.
And he was going up against the opponents that Wyoming plays. I mean, he's got this cannon for an arm, but it's like, whatever you're going to try to teach him accuracy wise, you're probably not the first coach to try to do that.
It's like trying to learn a language in your 30s. You know what I mean?
And
like,
the good news is they used a bunch of picks to move up and get him.
Right.
So the Bills could be increasingly irrelevant.
This is the shit that'll come back to bite them 3 years from now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And not to say that, look, if I don't want, you know, they're in our division, fuck them. I don't want them to do well. I'm tired of.
Exactly.
And a lot of people are saying that the Patriots also had a super shitty draft and really didn't accomplish anything. You know? And so, you know, a lot in the AFC East, there was a lot of activity with the Jets and stuff like that. Who did the Jets pick up?
Sam Darnold.
Right. And they picked, so they went a quarterback also, which is, those were their needs at this stage.
I don't think the Jets thought in a million years Sam Darnold would be falling to him at three.
I don't think so either, but that's where they are. I'm not here for them. Like, fuck them.
Sure.
I genuinely think that Josh Allen was the, Rosen, right? Wait, which one?
Rosen was the one right before us. Allen was the one the Bills took.
Right. Which is the one you were just talking about, with the arm issues?
Allen.
We talked about it last episode, that he's like the Jay Cutler type.
Yeah.
And then he has natural strength and natural ability that he doesn't feel that he never really coached out the problem. Like he relied on it. So we kind of made that comparison.
Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if he does Jay Cutler like shit, you know, where he's just
More like Ryan Mallett type shit.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like another dude with a cannon for an arm that couldn't get it to his receivers.
Yeah. That is going to have to rely on what's sad to say. The Bills don't have a good core, a good core receiving score. You know, like they don't have the shit to if he's starting for them as a rookie this season.
Yeah,
that he does. That's a lot of pressure to put on a guy who's just coming out of college, who does not have the, I guess, teachability.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that I think that that's a really good point. I would say the one thing that kind of frustrated me in this draft and a lot of these other drafts is the thing is, I mean, you look at teams that are pretty set at quarterback, like, say the Patriots, they have consistently used, if not high draft picks, higher draft picks. I mean, they drafted a quarterback in this one. I mean, granted in the later round. And the thing is, I mean, some of those picks have turned into Matt Cassel or I think Mallett was them, wasn't he?
I thought so too.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan Mallett, what's his face? Who just the dude in San Francisco.
I don't know who you're. Kaepernick?
Garoppolo.
Oh.
yeah. I mean, they used a high pick on Garoppolo. And the thing is, I mean, this is a team that has like, you know, as much as I hate to say it, a decent quarterback in Tom Brady. Yeah. And I mean, even like in his peak, I mean, they would always use picks. Because the thing is, I mean, it's you have quarterbacks to develop. Right now, the Dolphins have Ryan Tannehill, who hasn't taken a snap in a pretty long time and has already shown that he is somewhat open to injury.
Yeah.
And if he goes down, it's Brock Osweiler and David Fales. and that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
And it's having like some kind of a backup. Cause I mean, it's even if it's like undrafted, we didn't even bring in a quarterback as an undrafted free agent.
No. Yeah.
I think when you have quarterbacks in development, at least it's like a lottery ticket that like sometimes that undrafted free agent's going to turn into like a Tony Romo or something like that.
Sure. Sure.
But well, it just, yeah. I mean,
I think our situation is one that we have this faith in the, like, you know, that trust the process shit that sure. is finally paying off now for Philly, in basketball. We have Adam Gase trying to set up a squad. Cause if you look at our picks, there's some intentional squad building right now.
Yeah. I mean, we're about to get into it.
But I will say for the quarterback side of things, Ryan Tannehill is supposed to be healed up and they're just going forward with the idea that he's going to be healed up and play and all that stuff. Sure. They brought Brock Osweiler in. Hopefully he's fitting in to that style of play, that program.
Yeah.
Because I think that in this particular case, they're not thinking of quarterback as that you need a talented quarterback, of course.
Sure.
But I don't think that they're trying to build up. They're not putting all their eggs in one position.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And it goes to show because I was so happy with the draft, with the way they went about it, because I didn't follow who everyone was available. I was just looking to see who we got. And then I would go because I was going to go crazy.
Oh, sure.
Looking at all these. Then I would turn into like you watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia. With the Pepe Silvia thing with the red, with the like, there's no Carol.
Oh, yeah.
Carol. You know, and then he's going crazy. Like, I would have turned into that guy.
No, I get it. I mean, getting to the picks. The first pick we got, Minka Fitzpatrick. He is, I mean, most people were comparing him to the Honey Badger. The Dolphins have, as long as, I would say pretty much as long as I've been doing this site, the Dolphins have struggled to cover tight ends. If you're a fan of the Dolphins, you've watched every tight end from like great ones like Gronkowski to like the shittiest ones. Every tight end seems to carve us apart. Mm-hmm. And this is a dude who fits a couple needs for us. One, the safeties that we had and TJ McDonald and Rashad Jones, both are kind of strong safeties. We kind of needed a free safety. Mm-hmm. Whether they'll trade one of those dudes, or obviously the person they would be trading would be TJ McDonald.
Yeah, it would not be Rashad Jones.
Yeah, we're not going to trade him.
Yeah.
But whether they would trade him, there was some talk about trying to convert him to a linebacker or, God forbid, just have some depth at a position, which isn't really the Dolphin way.
It's not. But
yeah, I mean, it's, but the thing is, I mean, he's a dude who can do a lot of different things. He's just like Honey Badger. He's a dude who you can put it for safety. You can put him in the slot receivers, tight ends. He's kind of a Swiss Army knife. And the thing is, I mean, for not even just for the weaknesses of our team, but kind of across the NFL, that slot position, whether it's tight ends or slot receivers, it's become like a real kind of focus in a lot of the offenses around the league, and it's something that the Dolphins have been terrible at. I mean, I think most of the consensus said that he was a top five pick, or at least a top five talent.
Right.
So, I mean, the fact that he slipped to us at number 11, I mean, I think it was a smart pick, especially if Rosen isn't the dude, and they certainly took a really long, hard look at him. With that being the case, I mean, it seemed like a good pick. I'm pretty happy with it.
It also felt like one of the reasons why he was available to us at 11 was because of all of the quarterback hype.
Yeah.
Because of all of the trading up, that all of a sudden, like, I'm telling you, man, it was all fucking psych mind games, man. Yeah. Then, like, Dolphins are looking at quarterback. Are they going to trade up? The Dolphins, and then it got everybody else anxious.
Sure.
They did a fucking fake out. Yeah. And then all of a sudden we're like, yeah, we of course, if it wasn't Baker Mayfield, we weren't going to draft anybody we don't want, you know, as I guess.
I don't know if our psych out played into it, but I mean, the Bills trading up to get Josh Allen.
That's what happened, my friend.
Genius.
That is what I said was going to happen. So I am spinning it to make it true.
Genius.
I have accomplished the mind connection, the mind meld with the Miami Dolphins.
Your powers.
My unsettling. Powers. Yeah. Don't unsettling. Make me stick a hurricane on somebody. Cause we totally did that last year.
The guilt still weighs heavy on me. Sometimes I still think about it.
Yeah.
Next pick we got, Mike, Jasicki.
Jasicki. I don't know how to pronounce it.
But I have read a ton about the draft. I have not listened to it. Like I was watching it at a bar, but the bar didn't have the sound on. So it was just like the names coming up.
I've just been following it on Twitter and stuff. So I do not know what any of these names actually sound like. But Mike, I'm pretty solid.
This dude, I mean, there was a video that leaked online of him. Well, not leaked. There was a video he'd posted online of him like doing a bunch of crazy dunks. This is a dude who he definitely is the kind of Jimmy Graham type of tight end. Our tight end, we have not had a decent tight end on our team since Charles Clay. We brought in
that hurts. Yeah,
it's a fact though. I mean, we brought in Jordan Cameron, never did anything. We brought in,
good God. That's so painfully true.
Yep. And, Julius Thomas never did anything. I mean, the thing is
Julius Thomas,
Ryan Tannehill. Oh, I mean, both those tight ends, are clearly kind of on the down. Mm-hmm. One of them's no longer in the NFL. One of them should probably no longer be in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill hasn't really had like a ton of chemistry with any of the tight ends he's had
at all. Like, so it'd be great to this young cat coming in being very physically gifted.
Yeah.
Intense. Like he's insanely physically talented. Yep. That guy he's got body awareness for days. He knows like what is that called? The physical intelligence or whatever it is. Like that grace, athleticism, like sure. He's fucking, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. You put that motherfucker in another sport and he'll do well. Anything. Yeah.
And that's the thing. I mean, he definitely kind of seems like in the mold of the kind of Antonio Gates, Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
I mean, the knock against him is that he can't block for shit. But I mean, I think that if you look at any of the top receiving tight ends, with the exception of like, I mean, maybe like Gronk, maybe a little bit Travis Kelce, but like on the whole, I mean, most of the top receiving tight ends, Jimmy Graham has never been a strong blocker. I think that the most important thing too, Adam Gase's offense typically is it's kind of a 3-1, like three receivers on one side and a tight end on the other. Right. It's been, there's a lot of opportunities out of that formation, but there a lot of the opportunities kind of go away if they know you're definitely not throwing to the other side of the field.
Exactly.
So having a threat, also like a red zone dude. I mean, there was a talk between
insane. Look, I can't tell you how like red zone offense last season was infuriating.
I mean, for years it's been that way.
I mean, having a tight end, you know, doing those like those quick slants and those crosses, you know, and having a threat, especially someone who can jump for the ball, who can muscle dudes out of the way, like be in the mix and still make catches. I would value that over a block, especially how pass heavy things are with Gase, you know. Throw a running, you know, and we'll get into the running backs that we got in the pick, but it might be time to use the running backs in the backfield and train those guys to do more blocking to give us more threat from the tight end instead of out of the backfield.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, we just haven't really had like the kind of red zone kind of go-to guy. Yeah.
These are all new toys.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Jarvis Landry was like kind of like a short yardage receiver. Yep. But I mean, in the red zone, you kind of want the big dude who can go up and get it. And like, we just really haven't had that as much. I mean, there's the continued hope that Devontae Parker develops and we're in like year 30 of that.
It's like, he can do it. He's still good.
You just got to believe. Everyone clap your hands and believe.
Yeah. And then Julia Roberts comes back to life.
There was a talk between
reference.
Oh, I like it. There was talk of them, whether they were going to go with him or this, the dude, Dallas Goedert. The thing is, I forgot what college the other dude played for. It was a super small one. He played in like a small conference, the other guy. I kind of like that the dude that we got played at Penn State and played against top opponents.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of times where you'll see people like Gronkowski or people like that who are coming out of kind of smaller programs
that shine.
Yeah. But it's always kind of a risk because the thing is, I mean, when you're playing against a lot of easier people that you can kind of dominate the way that the other dude did, it's cool, but you don't really know how that's going to translate to the NFL.
It's like when boxers go up against tomato cans, you know, they just put somebody up in front of them to knock down, to build up their record. You know, you can have, I will say this goes back to the mental game of that I'm always talking about, that if that boxer suddenly comes up against someone who actually hits him with some power, like, oh, we put you up against a real boxer now.
Yeah.
That first hit will fuck you up for the rest of the fight. You could lose just being shaken from that moment.
Yeah.
Taking someone from a small school, small division, not big time play.
Sure.
Not a lot of actual media attention, because like college players deal with media attention now way more than they used to.
Sure.
Especially with social media the way it is. The mental game and all the distractions that come from being a professional football player and a professional football player in Miami, with all of our soap opera bullshit going on behind the scenes, and the fact that Miami is a huge beacon for people who to like be their worst.
Yeah.
Then you it's better to pick somebody who has played on national TV and had every game, been in the spotlight. Penn State, especially being had people had their eyes on them with all the scandal and all the shit that happened before.
Sure.
You know, like that is almost off the field beneficial.
Yeah.
And then it'll in turn, hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, this is the all the speculation. It will, you know, if this guy can just focus on play, he's a much better pick and he's fucking super talented.
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, the two of them, they were both kind of slated for the second round. I mean, and mm-hmm. I think a lot of people kind of had the other dude like a little bit higher than him. It just seems like a safer pick. I mean maybe the other dude's ceiling might be a little bit higher. But it seems like
you don't know because he didn't play.
But I think his floor is a lot lower.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's both. I mean, I think that it's, yeah. I mean, in this situation, it's one thing if you're taking a small school person, like the fourth or fifth round. In the mm-hmm. second round, no. I feel like I'd rather go against someone.
And who's, also that, like you, like that person. So, yeah. So, Gesicki. Is
we promise to learn to pronounce it by next episode.
Once I hear it on ESPN or whatever, his average will be higher.
Yeah.
His average performance will be higher coming out of the gate.
Sure.
You know,
I'd agree. The next dude, round three, we took an outside linebacker, Jerome Baker from Ohio State,
which we need to set the edge better.
Yep.
Yeah.
but the thing is that he is a, for one thing, he's going to be paired up with Raekwon McMillan, who is already a college teammate of his, which is nice.
Oh, right.
The other thing is, I mean, he is like kind of along the same lines as Minkah Fitzpatrick. He is like a cover dude. I mean, he's kind of small. He's kind of small for a linebacker. Mm. His specialty was in coverage. He's a dude who kind of specializes in being able to cover tight ends and like people like that. I mean, and the downside being on the more undersized sides, he's not going to be probably as useful against the run.
He's fast though, right?
Fast as fuck.
That's the
real
guy who
fast.
His like 40 time was shocking. Like everyone was fucking freaking out over it.
Yeah.
Right. Is that the same? Is that the guy who I'm thinking of? Fuck.
Maybe not. It was fast though.
It was fast. It was. Yeah.
He's definitely
got
fast.
Somebody who's like wicked. Yeah. Wicked fast.
Yeah. I mean, he's fast. He's fast. He can cover. Again, I mean, we certainly need help at linebacker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fits a need. I mean, I like that he's already played with one of our other linebackers. Hopefully they can both.
They settle into the position. You know, they settle into the team and help each other out. You know,
yeah.
That'd be nice. But we definitely, this is, I'm telling you, man, this feels like team ball now.
Yeah.
With all this stuff going, and we haven't even gotten to the rest of it, but.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly feels like we're definitely kind of, it definitely feels like we're drafting for the way the game has evolved too. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, it's that thing of getting like fucking picked apart by
the Jets,
tight ends in general, mm-hmm. but also the Jets.
That was a hard one.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, but yeah, I mean, a lot of these picks help kind of resolve that. Next pick, Durham Smythe, tight end from Notre Dame. He is kind of like the opposite of Gesicki. He's another tight end.
He's a lineman.
Yeah. He, like, whereas Gesicki is all catching, no blocking. This dude is all blocking, very little catching. So if we could just combine them.
Yeah. We'll just Frankenstein the pieces together.
I just pictured two of them just hooked up to a machine.
Yeah. Yeah, man. What I was going to say, like, it feels very refreshing to have the Dolphins addressing problems. You know what I mean? Like it feels cool to have them just be like, yeah, this was bad last season. This is what we're doing to fix it. It's like, yeah, you know, you could draft people to fix it. That's exactly what we're doing.
Well, apparently Gase also, he loves two tight end formations, mm-hmm. and to do those, it helps to have two tight ends, which we have not had as much.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Next guy, Kellen Ballage.
Is he this fast guy?
Who's he? He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a running back from Arizona State. He is a dude who.
Yeah, I think that's the guy I was thinking of.
Crazy fast, great hands, had 8 touchdowns in a game, which is a lot.
That's, yeah. Even if you don't know about football, like for one guy to have 8 touchdowns sounds like a lot.
I mean, the frustrating thing about him and the reason why we were able to get him in the 4th round is, I mean, he's got prototypical height, prototypical speed. I mean, the speed is kind of right on par with Kenyon Drake's.
Which I saw Kenyon Drake on Instagram. He was posting up, like they were watching film, and he was like, "I see you," and he tagged him in it. Like,
nice.
Hopefully they will work well together.
Yeah. The problem with him and the reason why we got him that low in the draft is kind of the difference between potential versus production.
Right.
And that, like, his yards after catch or yards after contact were very low. And it's this thing where, kind of like what you were saying earlier about the kind of Jay Cutler types, where there's people with kind of a physical talent and don't necessarily kind of squeeze every drop out of it.
Right.
This is a dude that has all the tools. And I mean, this is, for as much as I made fun of the Frank Gore signing when it happened, because Frank Gore currently gets Social Security checks because he's 87 years old.
You shut your mouth. I want, if we could just get all of the U players from the glory days on the Dolphins, I would be I would be a happy man. Just get all those guys back. Let him play. Let him play one season as a Dolphin. And then
that ghost of Sean Taylor.
Oh no.
Yeah. It's look, I mean, I think that, no, but the thing is, though, I mean, in fairness, though, Frank Gore worked with Lamar Miller, another U player, in one of the off seasons when he was with us. And when Lamar Miller came back the next season, I mean, there was a notable difference. Frank Gore is a dude who, like, really, I feel like, can be like a mentor to people.
Absolutely.
So in addition to the fact that I was kind of excited about him being able to work with Kenyon Drake, I think that this, if there's anyone who can light a fire, like Frank Gore's whole shit, his entire career he has been the opposite of what I just described. Right. I mean, he is a dude who squeezed when he finally retires at age 87.
Yeah.
I mean, no one will say that, like, he left a lot of talent out there.
Right.
Like, I mean, he squeezed every tiny drop out of the talent that he had. I mean, no one has worked harder. So, I mean, it's hard to kind of turn the stuff like that around. I mean, hopefully, I mean, he was like kind of pissed off that he slid this low.
Right.
The running back was good. Yeah. I hope it pisses him off.
Earn it.
Yeah.
Earn your shit.
But I mean, he definitely is. And look, I mean, that's Dolphins. I mean, previously we had a 5th round pick, that turned into a pretty good running back in Jay Ajayi.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it does happen where there's stuff that can make people slide. I mean, this dude certainly has all the physical talents. He also is a dude who can catch. He also, because he's a big dude, apparently is a.
Yeah, he's a. How big? I don't have on this page here his physical attributes.
I think he's like 6'2".
Yeah, he's a big.
For running back,
yeah,
he's big.
I know he's a big dude.
But he apparently. They were saying that, like, they used him in a lot of like third down situations.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
as a fullback.
Third down back because he can catch, but also, like, even like in some goal line stuff. So, I mean, at the very least, I think that he's a dude who gives us more options, gives us depth that we needed when we lost Damian Williams in the offseason.
Yeah, let's see how the offensive play calling starts to form around all these new guys, because with a bunch of new toys to play with, maybe these bubble screens are actually going to start fucking working. Or, you know what I mean? Like, having a running back that, like, with some decent hands doesn't necessarily mean, you know, like, he could be either, you know, like there's that whole Swiss Army knife mentality. I think that would be like, a building point from what we saw from the offense this season, season.
That's always kind of been Adam Gase's MO.
Yeah.
Adam Gase is the same dude who put together the offense in Chicago around Matt Forte.
Right. So
he led all running backs in receptions.
And he's going to use these tools, tight ends. Like,
what's the same way he did last year? I mean, JJ, in addition to whatever was going on in the locker room that we don't really know about, I think one of the things that really frustrated Adam Gase about JJ's game,
the accent.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly. Look, I'm telling you,
British comes off very condescending.
Yeah, and super condescending.
You only take so much of it.
Yeah, right.
Hello,
Governor. Hey, bruv.
I'm not getting my reps out there. Maybe pass me the ball some more. Yeah, it's a...
I don't like catching. Maybe you should throw it. Maybe I should hand it off.
Yeah.
Just hand it to him. Put it in my mitts and I'll take it to the end zone.
Yeah.
I'll score a goal with the wicket. Yeah. Right? That's a British term.
Riff, give me a yellow card.
Yeah. Yeah, look. Gold constable. That's British words.
Welcome back to accents.
You gotta give me the ball more.
Quick, do a British macho man. Yeah. Oh no.
Hello, hello.
Oh boy.
Is it tea time? Ooh. Cheerio. Ooh, how about some cucumber sandwiches? Ooh, yeah.
Oh, I love British Macho Man.
Yeah.
I love you, British Macho Man.
Fancy Macho Man. Yeah. Fancy Macho
Man. Okay. I need to recover.
Maybe just some fish and chips.
Cut all this out. I can't contain it.
Yeah.
This is what you tune in for.
JJ was a dude who couldn't block and couldn't catch. Or didn't block and didn't catch. And that was something that, like, as soon as they traded him for, you know, the box of Cracker Jacks.
Yeah.
You saw in Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake, you got an idea of kind of more what Gase's offense looked like. And
right. Yes.
So this dude certainly fits the stuff that Adam Gase likes to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, he likes having a running back who can block and who can catch. And I mean, this is another kind of tool in that arsenal. And I mean, running back especially is a position that you need depth at. I mean, Frank Gore. I'm more excited for kind of what the kind of wisdom that he could possibly bestow on his teammates.
Yeah. He's going to be the wise veteran, hopefully, if in the screenplay of the movie that I'm writing, he is the wise veteran helping, you know, the new Jacks come up and form kind of a squad. I would love to see like a squad of running backs where they're like all buddies. They start wearing matching haircuts or whatever.
Fucking Mighty Ducks scene.
Yeah. Mighty
quack,
Ducks.
Quack. Quack.
Absolutely. Where they all do the dolphin noise that we do at the bar. Yeah. That's terrible. The dolphin needs a more threatening noise.
Going to catch on. I just got to look at Frank Gore's age.
How old is Frank Gore? Hey Siri, how old is Frank Gore? Oh shit, it responded.
Oh God.
34.
Yeah, but he turns 35 in like 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks.
What an old piece of shit, I say as I'm about to turn 37.
I'm a 34-year-old. I also don't belong in the Dolphins.
No, man, I think he's going to be good, man. I think you need somebody who can.
It's weird because normally there's just not a whole lot of precedent for this kind of thing. And that, like, as a running back in the league, normally when you turn 30, your career is over. That's where it all kind of drops off. The fact that Frank Gore has like become this like fantasy football zombie, just the undead.
Yeah.
Like, and like every year it comes up I feel like for the last, past four seasons, every time you're doing a fantasy draft, his name comes up in the later rounds, and every year he kind of overperforms what you thought he would do, which was nothing. If he can give us any production on the field, great. I mean, I think I'm more excited for the kind of what you're saying, the wisdom he can bestow.
He's a sage.
Yeah.
He's a running back sage.
Yeah, I like it.
But I also think, I fully believe in the mystique of the U. Like that, I don't think there's a university football program that has where the players feel as indoctrinated into that culture as in the U. Like the U is super. I'm 100% biased opinion.
Hey, I mean, cocaine's a hell of a drug,
but also
the ultimate indoctrination.
Yeah, yeah. But also there's a mystique about the U players and coming back to Miami. Like the Dolphins never had that mystique, but I think something about coming back and playing in a stadium that in Miami, you know, familiar, you know, there's like a familiar feeling in the air. You know, I think he's going to, I think this will be his dismount. I wouldn't be surprised if he retires as a Dolphin.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if he retired as a Colt.
That's
of the predictions. I feel like that's the safest. If this is not his last season, then like Jesus Christ.
Well, I mean, like, what if he gets like this rarefied air about him where he just we crush it.
Five more years. He's like the only 40-year-old fucking running back.
He's going to be he's going to just have just gray hair. He's going to be like
his knees are just duct taped together.
He's going to be like that old gray Dominican guy at my barber shop that he just talks about how the good old days and shit like that. And then he's just going to, but he's still like the
going for shape still, up.
Well, there's like there's a dude at my barber shop. He's jacked and he's always there and he's just like, when he's got a gray goatee and he is jacked, like he's like super duper muscular.
Are you sure that dude's Dominican and not actually Frank Gore?
It's actually Frank Gore.
He just fakes a Spanish accent.
Frank Gore's Spanish is super Dominican.
It's pretty Dominican.
But he's like super jacked and he's like he's everybody knows him, think of some of him as like this badass dude, and when he comes in he's just like the chillest guy. That's who I'm picturing now as Frank Gore just walks into the and just owns his confidence and keeps going.
Frank Gore is a dude who, like, I feel like he's always a dude who I think pretty much everyone's always like kind of liked and respected. There's never been anything not to like. I mean, hopefully you can kind of bring that along.
Other U players can we get?
The last picks, I mean, 6th and 7th round. I mean, honestly, like I'm kind of just breezing over these because I mean, a lot of these dudes never even make it to the final roster. Cornell Armstrong, corner out of Southern Miss, little dude. Said he based his game off of Brent Grimes. Mm-hmm. So he's like that kind of, because I think he's like 5'10".
Yeah, not a big guy, but also, again, a position, like stuff that we need. You know, even if he does shine,
sure.
You know, why not?
Quentin Poling, linebacker out of Ohio.
Again, something we need.
Yep. I mean, at the very least, it's depth. I mean, our linebacking core is completely depleted. So, I mean, it's the line. The threshold it would take for him to make the team, it's a pretty low bar right now.
Right. Yeah. Wait, you breathe and have two legs?
And 7th.
Get over here.
And our final pick, heir apparent to the throne of MV Parkey, is Jason Sanders out of New Mexico.
All right, listen kicker. Here. Listen here, Jason Sanders. You got some mighty big shoes to fill. I don't want to hear this. Oh, the last guy. Everyone talks about the last guy more favorably. Yeah, no, you got to make a name for yourself, Jason Sanders. Who the hell is going to buy a jersey with a kicker on it? Me, that's who. And that's who you have to impress with your kicking ability.
You hear that, Jason Sanders?
You hear that, Jason Sanders?
That's the kind of shitty short-term judgment Mike has.
You need to earn your spot on my jersey. Arr.
Oh, yeah. You better kick the ball through the goalposts.
I mean, let's not worry about a kicker too much. He's got to earn his spot. Who knows? I mean.
Yeah, undrafted free agent. I guess there's another. I didn't even bother looking it up.
We got another kicker?
Yeah, we got an undrafted free agent. So basically, it's going to be a toss up between the two of them.
Right.
Both of them. You know, no,
come
I mean,
on,
not
Sanders. Don't you want to be?
What's that?
Come on, Sanders. Don't you want to be on my jersey?
There can be only
there
one.
There can be only one.
Yeah, I mean, kicker is one of those positions where, I mean, they're going to have a kickoff. I mean, it's between one of them. Also, I mean, sometimes kickers also will get cut at training camp. So, I mean, that's Parkey was a dude we kind of got at the last second last year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, that position is what it is.
I still can't believe how much money Parkey's making. Where did he go?
I don't remember
where he went, but I remember just being like, that for a kick? Damn,
Parkey. Yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, I can't believe we let him go. And then I saw how much he got paid, and I was like, shit.
Yeah, okay. Oh boy. Good for him. I miss you, Cody Parkey.
I don't know if I ever mentioned this on this podcast, but I mean, I think we've certainly talked about it.
You fucked Cody Parkey, and the feelings are weird now.
That was not the secret I was going to share. That was something I told you in confidence.
Oh, no. Mike.
No, it's Jarvis Landry. Like when his contract came out, the contract that he got with the Browns.
Right.
I will say that it was
better.
Yeah, it took some of the sting off of it just in that. I mean, look, he was my favorite player to watch the last couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Rashad Jones, love Cameron Wake.
But let's just be honest. It was slim pickings for marquee players.
Sure.
He was the standout of a mediocre field. You know?
Agreed. I mean, he was a dude who I really enjoyed watching. And like the fact that the Dolphins have overpaid so many other people. Kiko Alonso. I mean, they've overpaid so many other players at times where like their contracts weren't even up. So the fact that this is like one dude who's like really is kind of like lighting the league on fire, it was kind of annoying to me with that it seemed like they were letting him go for not that much. But when I saw what that contract was,
there was
that
no
definitely,
way.
That definitely is way more money than like I would have felt comfortable paying.
Miami was doing a very Miami thing of acting like they got more money than they do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not living within their means. Miami as fuck when like to live beyond your means and then then scramble to scam your way out of it.
Yeah.
That's Miami as fuck. And you know, you can only fake it for so long until you got to make real remedy, you know?
Yeah.
And cutting big contracts like Ndamukong Suh and all that shit. It was, I mean, you have to do all that.
Speaking of the cuts, I mean, there was something that kind of surprised me in the draft. I mean, apart from the quarterback shit, which we give a ton, I went out of my way to give a ton of time to up front. I am unapologetically a dude who pays a ton of attention to the position of quarterback. But the whole, we are stacked at defensive end.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about that.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of flatter the Dolphins by congratulating them on not drafting another time. Because I swear to God, when it was coming up to the podium in the first round, I'm like, so help me God, if we just drafted our 13th defensive end.
Yeah. No.
You're only playing two at a time. Jesus.
Well, they did.
But we didn't get a tackle the draft. Right. And the thing is, I mean,
I'm fully convinced one of these ends we have is going to be playing tackle.
I mean, they're probably going to have to.
There's no way that they can't do that. If we keep them, and if we're not pulling some other shit preseason, you know, in training camp that we find somebody.
Yeah,
one of these ends is moving over. We're going for speed than size or something.
The thing is, I mean, right now there's just not a whole lot of depth at that position. I mean, it's because we got Jordan Phillips, who's pretty. He's been consistently inconsistent.
Right.
I mean, there's just not. There's not like a whole lot of dudes there. So, I mean, yeah, I think there's probably going to be, I mean, especially because that's a position that throughout the game, you kind of want to rotate dudes in and out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that there was William Hayes. There was some talk about moving him over.
Which, again, somebody is. And and like I said last time, or when we were talking about the whole contract thing, was these guys are, it might be a more creative defensive play calling in terms of stunts, in terms of lineups, in terms of, you know, gap assignments, whatever, who knows. But if they're going for more speed based guys than size guys, like in terms of tackles, it would be perfectly reasonable to have one of these guys move over, you know, play a different assignment.
No, absolutely. I mean, this has been a really fun episode. I mean, this is like the last, I think between now and the time the season starts, all our other episodes, it's either going to be like that episode where we talk about what Dolphins would you want to fight? It's going to be more.
It's going to be more full of information about random nonsense.
It's going to be a mix of full information. It's going to be refined tips on how to do a better Macho Man Randy Savage impression.
Oh, that's our sub. We're going to spin off that podcast.
And like, every fucking morsel of like training camp gossip.
Yeah. Every last drop, we're going to be like, we need to fill content.
That's one of the funniest things is that it's like when you date someone, like they see that you like, they see like when you're watching football and stuff and you're like, oh, this is fun. And like, that's, even if they're not into football, they understand how that could be fun.
Right. It's exciting.
The off season when I'm just like stalking, like, fucking like Omar Kelly and Armando Segura's like Twitter feed for like, like any kind of like fucking like gossip about like who had a good training camp day on the random Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, he dropped a catch. He's done.
Or like, well, you get super granular with the like cover it with the
some rookie caught a touchdown against the third string defense.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame, here we come.
Or like, he posted $6 signs as opposed to $5 signs on his Instagram feed.
What does it mean?
What does it mean?
Illuminati.
Yeah, where you start. This is the time of year where you start to get desperate for football shit.
Yeah.
You get desperate for football where anything is like, what happened? Who did what now? Cocaine in the office. Of course, a coach getting fired for something. You know, you're just like begging for anything.
Tannehill won a flag football game. Here comes the comeback.
Here's the comeback. Yeah. Oh, they're showing pictures of him doing squats. Yeah, here we go. You know, but I will say, like, it becomes like Oliver Twist where it's like, please, sir, Can I have some more? Anything will do, please.
Yeah.
You know,
we're a bunch of fucking junkies. Yeah. Just trying to get
totally.
A fix.
Totally.
All right, man. This, I feel good about this. This draft, I mean, look, this is a. Yeah, I mean, I think
I'm happy with it, man.
I will say that there were so many years, especially under Jeff Ireland, where it's like the Dolphins would make picks and just be met with like laughter.
Oh yeah, there were some, and then they would do all of this like free agency bullshit where we'd overpay people left and right, and then the draft would be fruitless.
Yeah, I think that all the picks that we made, I mean, there was like a tiny, like I mentioned, the tight end that we took. I mean, there was. Some people like nitpicky second guessing about whether the other dude should have gone first. They were both rated a second round pick. So I mean, it's like kind of like it wasn't like some crazy reach or some shit like that. I mean,
I think because our picks are so like utilitarian across the board.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, these what are you reporters asking questions about? We needed these people, so we got them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's so flat out, straight up shit. It's none of this showboaty, whatever. It's straight up. We needed tight ends. We needed linebackers and we got a running back. What are you nitpicking about? This is what
I'm excited to see Fitzpatrick play. I mean, he apparently is supposed to be like one of the most sure things. I mean, the only reason why Honey Badger slid, I mean, for one thing, there was some off the field stuff.
Sure.
but also, I mean, there was I think at the time, like the NFL just didn't really kind of realize what to do with someone like that.
Right.
Because they were like, oh, he's like a tweener. Like it, you don't know whether he's going to be a safety or a corner. And then, I mean, to be fair, like we had run into that bullshit when Nick Saban drafted Jason Allen forever ago. Because, I mean, he was a dude who like, he was part safety, part cornerback, but really turned out to be neither.
Yeah.
But I mean, Fitzpatrick seems like a dude. Also coming from Nick Saban's system, who I think that at the time Honey Badger came out, they couldn't figure out what the use are. And then like once Honey Badger came in the league, you're like, oh, the use is nearly endless. You can do anything exactly with someone like that.
And also I'm curious to see how this will, again, I'm forever the optimist, how it will increase the level of play. Like we've got some new linebackers in, man, Kiko's going to have to step up. Like what if he loses? He has. Before he had no threat to his position. Sure. He had him over a barrel. There was nothing they could do without him.
Yeah.
Now that there's linebacker coming in, maybe they'll pull some other people in on it before the preseason that he will have to compete with.
Yeah.
Hopefully this will inspire a little more competition in who we have, who's left over, who stayed with us.
Yeah. I mean, there was an undrafted free agent. I think there's two linebackers. One of them is from Michigan and the other one, I think it was from North Carolina, but like both like, apparently like pretty highly regarded for an undrafted free agent. I mean, that's kind of that whole thing.
Right. Right. But where do you put, you know,
but I mean, look, I mean, there definitely are, we've gotten good players out of the undrafted free agency and stuff before. So, I mean, it looks, at least it seems like that they're bringing more dudes in. So I'm excited for it.
And I'm happy for the fact that they are at the very least providing depth.
Yeah.
Some more options, opportunities, competition for position is a huge thing.
Yeah. I mean, last season, I mean, there were parts where like, it just seemed like if the linebacker goes down, they're going to have to throw in a towel boy. Cause there was just no one else left.
It'll be the Bobby Boucher situation where, you know, we pray that it's like the water boy and then, but it probably won't be. It'll be like a small,
Michael.
Yeah, it'll be me. Exactly. It'll be someone like me getting some like special, what?
I special what teamer.
Now? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, exciting, man.
I'm super pumped. I'm happy with it went.
You got anything you want to promote?
Oh, yeah. Everybody can please go to zerosonheroes.com. That is my podcast feed. There's two different shows on there right now that we are really ramping up production because we've got a weekly show at the Creek in the Cave every Thursday night at 8 p.m. that's live recorded or recorded live.
Yeah.
And you can be on it. If you're in the New York area, you can come out. And every week is a different theme. Everybody gets up 5 minutes. And I talk to you and about the theme of the day. This week is Westworld. We're talking about Westworld shit and cowboys and fantasy, you know, things like that.
Fucking love that show.
It's going to be great. Yeah, that show's so fucking
good.
I
love that show so hard.
So good. Your favorite Ed Harris movie, whatever it is. If you can make it fit the theme, you can come and be on our show. And you can listen to past episodes at Zeros and Heroes. And then we do interviews with people about their heroes. And the most recent one, we had AJ Thompson come and do Commander Shepard from the Mass Effect series, which got really deep into video games and stuff like that. And then one before that was Madonna. We had Elise Edwards come in and talk about Madonna's great. Yes. And you can follow me at Mike Mercadal on all the social media.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hot take. What's your favorite Ed Harris movie?
Apollo 13.
Fair.
Yeah.
Mine's The Rock.
I was going to say The Rock, but there's some, I love Apollo 13 for some reason. I just love that movie so much. I don't know why.
I think it was on,
it's not his movie. He's a supporting character, but yeah.
Yeah. I feel, God, he's so everything about, I mean, his character in like the first season, insane.
In Westworld. Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Also like just even like the first episode of the second season, everything about from the way they introduce his character to like, oh God, he's just the coolest fucking character of all time. Oh,
he's the dude. He's hard as fuck. And he's just brutal. He's just so pragmatic about everything. Just, oh, he's so cool.
That being said, I want the season to come down to a samurai showdown between him and Maeve.
Oh, because they do introduce the same. We'll talk about it on Thursday. At Unsung Heroes.
Try to bait you into it.
Yeah.
Nice try. if you listen to this, you're probably aware of the website, savingthedolphins.com. We're also on Twitter at savingthefins, PHINS. And I am on Twitter at David Kinney, KINNEY. Thanks for listening. And fins up.
Fins up.